In Parsha Shemois, there was an interesting comment. We're all familiar with the comment, but the ramifications, I think, are very far-reaching. And I just wanted to, you know, expound upon it a little bit today. And that is as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem that he has to go to Paro and take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Paro has to let them go. Moshe Rabbeinu, amongst his different responses at different stages of the conversation, he said, "Vehem lo yaminu li, v'yomer lo nirei lecha Hashem." They're not going to believe me. They're going to say Hashem didn't appear to me. Now, exactly why and what contributes to that lack of believing him is open for discussion. But the concept on a superficial level is very interesting. Basically, and the Rambam seems to learn the pshat like that, that basically, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to come and I'm going to say that I had a revelation, me, one man, coming a revelation, a miraculous, telling them things that are very difficult because they've been in slavery for so long and the matzav is so dire and it seems so impossible even to get out of Mitzrayim, and they're not going to believe me. And the Rambam seems to say clearly that the reason they're not going to believe me is because it's my word. I come, you know, you can come and tell me anything you want. Either I'll believe it or I won't. But I have no way of proving it. I have no way of really convincing them because it's just take me at my word. And the word, it seems, is a bit exaggerated. First of all, Hashem is talking to me all of a sudden. And second of all, the message seems very unusual or unlikely. And therefore, there's going to be a problem. So the Rambam uses that in the whole discussion of what is our basis for accepting Moshe Rabbeinu as the Novi. But Agav, it's very interesting that the major religions of the world have all studied the Bible, that's for sure. Christianity prints it for us. And every time they print their New Testament, they print the Old Testament. Islam has incorporated a lot of the biblical material, which means they certainly had access to the Bible. And many other of the religions do as well. Even I understand, I've heard from someone that the Zen masters, whoever they are, they quote the Bible too. So this Bible was very accessible to everybody. And it basically says that you really don't have any credibility when you claim a private revelation. Hashem appeared to me. In Yiddish we say, Ode yo, ode nisht, o shiken, o shelo. We don't know. Who knows? If I choose to believe you, if you pay me enough money, or you motivate me enough, I might believe you. And if not, not. But there certainly is no rational, certainly no factual, certainly no real credible basis for one person saying, I had a dream, I had an experience, and this is the way many of the very popular religions have based their religious beliefs upon. And basically what that's called in the religious lingo is a leap of faith. And nothing can be further from the truth in Yahadus. We don't believe in... Moshe.
What about Moshe?
No, wait, one second. We don't believe in leap of faith. We have a whole different attitude, and that's what the Rambam is going to go into. And this is the Rambam in Perek Shmini in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. I should like to just go over today. I think it's very significant. Moshe Rabbeinu lo haminu bo Yisrael mepnei ha'oisa she'oso. Moshe Rabbeinu was accepted as the Novi Hashem, meaning that when Moshe speaks, it's mipi ha'gvura. He says to us what Hashem told to him. We have to believe in him. We have to believe that he's an Ovi Hashem. The miracles that he did were not the basis for our belief in Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam even explains later, in case you're bothered by the question, in response to Hein Lo Yaminu Li, Hashem gave him three miracles, right? The Nochosh, and the Tzoras, and the Mayim turning into Dam. So the Rambam explains that those were just temporary, just to get things started, just to create a certain minimal credibility until they'll finally be able to recognize him at Har Sinai. So he's going to explain. Sha'ama min api ha'oisis yesh b'li b'doifi she'efsher she'ye'ose ha'ois b'lat v'kishuf. One who believes a Novi, based on the miracles that he performs, can always have some form of doubt or hesitation in his mind. Maybe this guy has some sleight of the hand. Maybe he knows some kishuf, some magic, some black magic, I don't know what. Some kind of thing that, you know, because I surmise from his amazing thing that he did that he must be a Novi Hashem. But there's a bit of a gap there. It's an assumption. So he says, all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the Midbar only did out of need. He wasn't proving his nevuah from them. And he gives examples. We had to get rid of the Mitzrim. They were a pain. So what happened? He split the yam, and they went in the drowning, and Klal Yisrael went through. But it wasn't that this should show that he's the Novi Hashem. Tzarachnu lemozei, we needed food in the Midbar, brought down mon. Tzomu, bokal lehenesa evan, they had the be'er. Kofar haskoirach, Korach had to be gotten rid of, though the earth swallowed them up. And all the other miracles. And then he continues. Uva mehem inuboy. And what was the decisive factor in establishing Moshe Rabbeinu as the true Novi Hashem, who speaks in the name of Hashem reliably, accurately, honestly, with the ability to have the fullest confidence? B'Maimon Har Sinai. That was at Maimon Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, why? Because Sheinenu Ro'u V'lo Yizor. We witnessed those things. The entire nation, millions of people saw. Not somebody else, we ourselves. V'ozneinu shomu v'lo yacher, and our ears heard, not somebody else. In fact, the Pasuk says, Vayares hakoilois v'salapidim. The seeing was so acute, they even saw the sounds. That was the precursor to the fax machine, which is no longer in existence. But anyway, they saw sounds. Mamish ad kedekach was not shaykh, the level. I don't know what they saw, but they saw, that's what the Pasuk says. The level of Nevuah was beyond anything we can imagine, yeah? V'neinu shavah kodesh lapidim, who nigash shal arof, and Moshe went into the cloud. V'akul medaber elav, and they heard Hashem speaking to Moshe, v'onu shemim, Moshe, Moshe, leichem or lehem kach v'kach. Hashem spoke to Moshe, said, Moshe, speak to the people and tell them what I say. V'cheinu oimre, ponim b'ponim dibra Hashem imochem. Hashem spoke to us face to face. V'nemar, le'esav seinu kore sabris hazois, except with us to Uminai and Shemaimed Har Sinai Levadoi Hu Horaya Al Nevuosoi Linevuosoi. How do we know it's only Maimed Har Sinai that proves Nevuos Moshe? Shu Emes She'ein Boi Doifi. It's an Emes that has no room for doubt. Shenemar, and he brings the posuk which says in Parshas Yisroi, which declares this. Hinei Shenemar. Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to appear to you in the thickness of the cloud, that the people should hear when I speak to you, and therefore based on that they'll believe in you forever, because they heard themselves. This is not surmised. Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have been perpetrating certain miracles, and therefore we surmise that he must be the Novi Hashem, because otherwise how would he know to call it, and how would he be able to do it? That's a surmisal, what you call it. But this is something, in Eino Ro, we saw, we heard, we stood by Har Sinai, and we heard Hashem speaking not only to us, but we heard him speaking directly in our hearing, in our earshot, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and say, Moshe, go teach them what I tell you. You are officially anointed, appointed as my official spokesman. And God, it says, Bavur Yishma Omed Abremoch, they'll hear me speak to you, Vegam Bechoya Aminu Le'olam, and they'll believe in you forever, because they know that I spoke to you directly and I appointed you as my spokesman. Mechlal, Shekoydim Dovazel Loi Haminabo, and they're Monashi Oimedes Le'olam. This, from here we see the Amuna before was not an Amuna Shemedes Le'olam, Ela Ne'amunus Sheyesh Acharei Hiru Machshava. There was an emunus which was possible to have some question about, because it was a surmising from the miracles he did. So that's the basic Rambam. He goes on another couple of halachas here. Let me just say, he goes on another couple of halachas, but this is what he says. So now, I just want to ask you two questions. Question number one is, we know that after Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayar Yisroel Sayod HaGdoyla Shosa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. They saw all the miracles. In fact, on the Yamsuf, the Mefarshim explained that they really fully appreciated all the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim too. Vayiru Emes Hashem, they feared Hashem. Vayaminu B'Hashem Uve Moshe Avdoi. So the Torah is made that the Klal Yisroel believed in Hashem after they saw the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. And yet, Kriyas Yamsuf was one of the examples that the Rambam gave and says, Lo yaminu bo because of the miracles, because he needed to get Paro drowned through the Yamsuf, or the Mitzrim drowned, so he split the Yam. The miracles were only out of necessity. They didn't prove his nevuah. And here, the Torah is made that Vayaminu Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi. Obviously, to that question, the answer must be very simple. And the Rambam really gave the answer himself. He says, Lo yaminu bo ne'amonos shehu shehi oimedes lo'olam, ela ne'amonos sheyesh acharei ohiru machshava. It wasn't an emuna shehi oimedes lo'olam. Oimedes lo'olam means it could stand firm forever. It's solid as a rock. It can't be shaken. It's oimedes lo'olam. No, that emuna was very good. It was inspiring. When you see Moshe Rabbeinu performing such acts, definitely, yes, vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Novi. Even the first three miracles that he did, when he came to Bnei Yisrael originally, when he said they won't believe him, the mate and the tzoras and the dam, even those three, they did help that they should accept him temporarily. In other words,
Hashem did it too.
What?
All those three, no?
But I'm saying, but it was enough to give them the Klal Yisrael. For the Klal Yisrael, it was enough to give them a credibility. Okay, you know, Moshe looks like, there's basis to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. In fact, that's right. In other words, it was enough that it couldn't be contradicted because, this seems quite, this is pretty interesting, but it's not, if somebody else did contradict it, and then someone else did miracles and said, well, I think we should do it differently from Moshe, and it could have created some type of a question. So it's an emunah sheyesh arei hiru machshava. So even the ve'yaminu b'Hashem uve'Moshe Avdoi that the Torah is made, was still an emunah that was still lacking in its permanence. In its, I don't know, the Hashem part, I'm sorry, the Moshe Avdoi. No, but what? That's what it says. The V'Moshe Avdoi, forget that.
I'm saying something.
Well,
wouldn't that be the Pashtus then, in the Pashtus?
What?
Because the Emunah for Hashem is also sort of the Moshiach at that point.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. It could be. I don't know. The Rambam is not talking about it, so we have no right to say that. But it could be that Maimon Har Sinai, there's two things. By Maimon Har Sinai, they heard Hashem talking to them. You know, so it strengthened there. There was no room to doubt. There was no question.
It's also shaykh that the reliance on Moshe was dependent a little bit on reliance on Hashem.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, but that's not what he says. I mean, we can talk about that. But he's not talking about it. He's talking about the Emunah and Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says that came from Maimon Har Sinai, which we heard Hashem speaking directly. So basically, the idea is there's a different quality of Emunah. There's an emunah based on miracles, which is very powerful. It was powerful enough for the Torah to be made by Aminu Hashem over Moshe Avdoi. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu as the Novi. It was very powerful because they saw, look at what he did. Look what Moshe did. Dom Tzfadei, Akin, him there. Ah, Makas Becheres, Kriyas Yamsuf. Wow. And all he predicted before that it's going to be and all these things. This is a Novi Hashem. But there's still room. It's an emunah sheyesh achareo hiru umachshova. Yechol liot that maybe, I don't know, somebody else will do something and I have to compare. Who should I believe? It's not clear. And he explains even later, he says, if somebody witnessed something, then if you come and tell me on something that I witnessed that it didn't happen, I'd say you're out of your mind. If I didn't witness it, I just believed it and surmised it, and you come and show me something to the contrary, it might shake me up a little bit. So this is basically what he says. So in other words, the emunah that we have in Teiras Moshe, in Moshe Rabbeinu as a Novi Hashem, is something that's not controvertible. This we heard at Har Sinai, Hashem speaking directly and appointing him, and therefore there's no room for any doubt or question about that, even though all the miracles themselves, as powerful as they would have been, would have left some room for some question.
Is this for everyone?
There's no way that...
What?
There's no room to say the same thing by Har Sinai.
The what?
There's no ability to say some of the things by Har Sinai.
No, at Har Sinai, it seems at Har Sinai they knew. When Hashem speaks to you directly, you hear Hashem speaking, and Porcho Nishmosom, they saw the Koilis and the Lapidim, the Neshomas left them, and they came back. That was an experience, and they passed it. And they passed it on.
I just told them.
What?
No, Hashem speaks, you'll know it. You know what I mean? Lightning
and thunder.
They heard,
and they heard Hashem speaking to them. Anoichi Hashem lekech asher tzeisicho me'eretz Mitzrayim. Lo yelecho elim achirim alponai. Okay, anyway, let's the Sefer Ikrim. The Sefer Ikrim discusses that. He says, Sefer Ikrim, Mama Rishoin, Perik Yud Ches, Bir Yofer Divri Rabbeinu. There's a whole beer on that over there. Okay, let's leave that. I don't want to get into discussion about that. The point over here is clearly...
Two people asked that, right?
What? I understand. Okay, so you want to look at the Sefer Ikrim. Abu Lemaisa, it's very clear that when a person stands at Har Sinai, after seeing all the miracles of Mitzrayim, and by the way, the miracles of Mitzrayim, even if Moshe Rabbeinu had a power to do kishuf, it doesn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, kishuf is also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe by Novi Sheker, it says a Novi Sheker that does miracles, and if he tells you to leave the Torah, then you put him to death. How is he able to do miracles? Hashem is testing us. In other words, these upheavals couldn't happen. There's nobody who... The Chartume Mitzrayim couldn't do them. They did these little things at the beginning, but they couldn't do this. When the magnitude gets so great, so it's clear that it's the Rabbeinu Shalom. The question is the Rabbeinu Shalom doing it, and Moshe Rabbeinu is some adjunct, or like in the Novi Sheker, that Hashem is doing it only to test us? Or is it real? So you know how you know it's real? Because Hashem said, on a Novi Sheker, I told you in the Torah, you only believe Moshe Rabbeinu. And on Moshe Rabbeinu, he told us, b'fnei am v'edo, millions of people hearing and seeing all the things that they saw there and knowing it and realizing it, that Hashem is speaking directly to them, that's the credibility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but there's another question. Wait, well, I have to run today. I have a meeting and I just want to, let me just go ahead.
Very important.
No,
I'm saying he didn't know. He said that there was a possibility that people would think it was kishuf. Yeah.
On what?
On all the miracles.
Yeah, on the miracles. Yeah. So.
Oh, I thought you were saying that was impossible.
No, even kishuf. But even kishuf. What is kishuf? What's kishuf? What's the kishuf? Koyach and Hashem's bria, to turn the bria upside down. That's also part of the koyachas. These koyachas are also koyachas of Hashem. That's why the only question is, that's why I say, a Novi Sheker can do miracles,
well,
it says.
Person does kishuf without the rishus of Hashem. Same with Hashem. Obviously Hashem controls everything, but Hashem is not doing it.
Who says
there is
Hashem? If there's
kishuf,
who says
there's
Hashem?
There's a kishuf.
I mean,
the world. To turn the world. When you see the world turning upside down, then that there's a boire. This is the look. There's a teva. Excuse me. There's a teva. All of a sudden, somebody like something. Oh, now the teva is changed.
Who's to say that Hashem is authorized in the
kishuf? This baby is not authorized. No. What do you mean? Nothing happens without his authorization.
Okay, but he's not.
So how do they do? Where does that koyach come from? That koyach gufa comes from Hashem. That, but that koyach gufa.
That.
That. What?
What do you mean? You're in the world that Hashem exists and he runs the world. In their world, Hashem did not exist at this point.
So
no, but it doesn't matter. But
Hashem is not from Hashem. There is no Hashem.
But when you see it, excuse me, the opposite to Hashem is teva. When you see Teva being turned upside down, you know that's Hashem. How to turn the Teva? This is the Teva. Nobody can change the Teva. This is the Teva. This is the way it goes. It's thousands of years.
What about Mantara? No other Koyach could have made happen besides God?
They heard him. They saw what they saw at Har Sinai.
Why can't
which
was be a voice from... Why can't you make a voice?
Make a
voice. Kishuv, you can make out here a loud voice.
You can make it a loud voice. And when the people that stood at Har Sinai, the Jews that stood at Har Sinai, who were the Jews that were so in their years in the Midbar, they doubted this, they questioned this, they complained about this. This they never doubted. This is something they wrote down and they passed on to their children because they were convinced, all these millions of people, that they heard Hashem speaking to them. The Torah explains a little bit what they heard. They broke him, and they've been, and Chazal say the neshamas, whatever happened. But these people, all of these people, not one of them dared to say that. They dared to complain. They dared to do whatever they did with the Egel, whatever that was, not real Avi the Zora. But one of them dared to claim that, oh no, this wasn't Hashem. This was something that was
maybe
clear.
Got drowned out.
This was, what?
Maybe got drowned out.
That what?
Maybe it was just the rove and the people who were anti that got drowned out.
Got drowned out.
They would have told their kids.
In the meantime, everybody's children told them. Everybody told their children the same story. It was passed down. There's no alternative version. In fact, one of my favorite stories is the story that a rabbi told me. That he, when he brings the Sefer down to his community down south to check the Sefer Torah, the rabbi in the Reformed temple also gets the Sefer to come to him. And when he asked the Sefer asked the rabbi in the Reformed temple, why do you need a guy like me to come down to look at your, to check your scrolls? He says, those scrolls are the only genuine thing I have in this temple, and I want to make sure they stay that way. Nobody dared, even those that dared not to observe the Torah, never dared to contradict the text. Mm-hmm. That text has been accepted, that text has been written. No one dared to contradict it, and I dare say that one thing you definitely see from that is the story was so clear to those people who were there without any dissenting opinion. Imagine millions of Jews without a dissenting opinion. Do you know what that means? Millions of Jews without a dissenting opinion. That's quite clear that they saw, they knew. They knew this and they all knew that. Now, if you say a couple people knew it, maybe they were foolish. A couple other people knew it, maybe they were fooled. A couple other people knew it, maybe they were drunk. A couple other people knew it, maybe they were something else. But we're talking about a massive nation, and they passed this down, the text which described, and the text, by the way, didn't describe that they believed that these events took place. The text described that they witnessed it, because the Torah says later, "Hishomer lochem u'shmor nafshecha me'oid pen tishkach es hadvorim asher ro'u einecho." You saw Yom Asher Amadato lefnei Hashem Elokecha about Bechorev when Hashem appeared to me and said, you know. So this was eyewitness testimony that they passed down, and that has a lot of power. I do want to say something though, because I think that we had a little bit of an experience over here, and I think there should be a comment about it. And that is a comment, and that comment is an apology for not. I didn't really intend to get into this, but it's an apology for not making the first Hakdama first. Okay. How do you know your mother is your mother?
You just assume it.
What's
you
that?
You don't know.
You don't know. Well, I wouldn't say that, and don't you get that idea either. Okay. I wouldn't
people
say that.
People could witness.
What?
Was
that?
You can witness a birth.
Did you ever know that a baby was exchanged in the hospital once in so many years by accident? It's happened. It may have happened to you. At one point, after delivering this lecture at a seminar, one of my kids, she was about 7 years old or 8 years old at the time, I come down one morning, and she's looking at my stuff and my papers and this and my files. I said, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my adoption papers. She started to get nervous that maybe she was adopted. She wasn't, by the way. She's married anyway, too, so don't worry. Anyway, kids, but this is possible, you see. So the only thing is, the Torah is like this. Knowledge in anything in life is based on the concept, the same concept that they use in every system.
It does matter.
Oh, come on. Yeah, based, one second, please. Based on one concept, and that concept is everything we know is beyond reasonable doubt. Are you planning to finish that cup of water?
Yeah. Yes.
How do you know that it isn't poison?
Reasonable doubt.
Oh, only reasonable doubt, that's all. Anything we know. Your mother is your mother, beyond reasonable doubt. The wa- look at that. Wow, that's a man. You hear? The water is the water, and it's not poison, beyond reasonable doubt. That's it. You get into a car, beyond reasonable doubt. You go on a plane, beyond reasonable doubt. We live that way. Well, we have to evaluate this testimony that we have as beyond reasonable doubt. And I think that reasonable...
Beyond doubt at all.
What? What's that?
This is beyond doubt.
This is beyond doubt, but as long as you mention that, I must comment. If you wish to curse a person for life, try to convince him of something beyond the shadow of a doubt. You have cursed him, you have forced him to see shadows for the rest of his life. Shadow of a doubt. Maybe something else.
Not only that, it sounds like it's critical for him.
What? What's that?
It says beyond doubt. Not only that, it sounds like
no,
it's
no, but it's ein acharei hiru, excuse me. It's yedia she'ein acharei hiru or machshava. That means beyond reasonable doubt. And even if it goes beyond... Well, let me finish. Even if it goes... Excuse me. Even if it goes beyond reasonable doubt, which it probably does, don't go there. Because that's the basis for people to start with doubts.
I mean, he wasn't cautious.
When I once, what?
He wasn't cautious.
I mean, he didn't say, he said this, they know it. That's, I don't know, okay? I don't know. But I do know something else. I know I'm presenting this thing, this lecture, once in a seminar in California. And there was a woman that was standing on the wall over there and asking some questions, and I didn't think she understood, and I said, wait a minute, let's assume you were a judge in a California court. And everybody started to laugh. And why they're laughing, I asked them. Well, they knew that she was a judge in a court. So I said, oh, this is just what I'm waiting for. And then, you know, I said, what do you have to say about this? Did we prove this beyond reasonable doubt? So she says, with far less points, far less proof, far less information that you gave in my courtroom, it would clearly be decided that was beyond reasonable doubt. So, you know, that's the story. Anyway, let me just finish. So this, I have to go. I just want one more thing. But there is another kasha here. Yeah, there's another serious kasha too. The Rambam lists as a mitzvah saseh, zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim. Remembering yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's a very, very important thing. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis for our emunah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis for Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at the Ramban in the end of Parshas Boy. If we don't know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Novi Hashem, then the Torah that we have, we don't know where it came from, right? We can't rely on it. Torah says we know Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is mamish for the Yesodei Hadas. Yet according to the Rambam Shita, there's no mitzvah saseh to remember Maimon Har Sinai. I got confused. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah I say to remember. The Rambam lists that, to remember by Yom Balayla. But Maimon Har Sinai, please strike, I misspoke a minute ago. Maimon Har Sinai, which is more significant in telling us, in allowing us to know that Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is Emes. Maimon Har Sinai, there's no mitzvah I say to remember. According to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah say to remember. The Ramban is masig on the Rambam and says the mitzvah say of Sechiras is yes, Sechiras Maimon Har Sinai. According to the Rambam, there is no such mitzvah. Hayitochen, the Rambam tells us beferish that this is the Yisod, this is the main thing, this is everything. What else, what are you talking about? What more can we ask for? So I think, I just want to throw out a Dover portion. I think the answer is really very simple. There's a posuk that really tells us to remember Maimon Har Sinai. We quoted it before. He shomer lecho, u'shomer nafshecho, me'oid. Pen tishkach es advorim asher ro'u einecho, u'fen yosuv milvavecho kol yimei chayecho, v'hidatam levonecho v'levnei vonecho, yoyim asher amadeto lefnei Hashem alekecho b'choyreif. The Torah gives a mitzvah to remember Maimon Har Sinai, the day that we stood b'choyreif. And the Ramban Taka learns from there a mitzvah saseh of zechiras Maimon Har Sinai. The Rambam learns from that posuk something else. He brings that in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that's the mitzvah to learn Torah with your children and your grandchildren. So I want to suggest a Dover Poshut, that according to the Shita of the Rambam, there's no need for a daily zechira of Maimon Har Sinai. Because the daily zechira of Maimon Har Sinai is Mekuyim in the learning Torah. We learn Torah v'hogisa by yom v'alayla by day and by night. In fact, the Mishnah says that kol ha'shochech dover echad b'mishnosoi malo v'hakosov ki l'schayv benafshei. If you forget one word you're learning, the Torah considers as if you forfeited your life. Where do we learn it from? From that posuk. Yishomer l'choshmor nafshecho. Nafshecho means God's your life. Pen tishkach zadvorim sheiro einecho, unless you forget. What are we talking about forgetting? We're talking about forgetting Maimon Har Sinai. Not about forgetting Dover Echad from the Torah. Yet the Mishnah brings a raya from that posuk that if you forget one word of your learning, it's ke'ilu, you've forfeited your life, because this posuk, which means ke'ilu, you forgot Maimon Har Sinai. The teretz is, let me finish. The teretz is that in every word of learning, you can experience that connection to Maimon Har Sinai. If a person taka appreciates, and he taka says birchas ha-Torah, and he's machshiv the Torah, he knows, otherwise it's considered alozvav es teirosi asher nosati b'soichom, like the Novi says. But because he wasn't machshiv the Torah, but if he's machshiv the Torah and he connects with it and he feels this as if this is Maimon Har Sinai. Rashi says it in Shir HaShirim. He says that Tevim Doidecho Miyayin, on that posuk, the second posuk in Shir HaShirim, he says that when the Klal Yisrael is Mishtashei Abat Torah, they feel Shom Mazkirim Doidov Miyayin. We feel the pleasantness of Maimon Har Sinai and the love that we, Umishra Avosam Oysa, and the love that we had for him. So a Jew has the ability. Now, it's not easy, and I know a lot of people say, well, I don't feel it. Yeah, it takes time. We have to work on it. It takes Reb Baruch Ber's crying during Avo Rabba every day. It takes saying a Birchas HaTorah with such a sense of privilege. It takes understanding the Chashivas HaTorah that it shouldn't be Al Me'a of Doris, Al Ozum Es Toirosi Ashenasati Lohem. But Lemaisa, a person can be Mishtashea BaTorah, and through that delight that he has, through that Vaharevno that he has, he can taka feel, this is the Teras Hashem. What am I doing? And if you think about it from a rational level, it's really, what are you spending so many hours a day learning? So many hours a day learning. Are you getting paid for it? Not much, if yes. What are you doing with it? Is it going to bring you money? That's going to be your profession? You're getting paid by the word? What is it? What motivates? And what has motivated throughout the Doiris, Mamish, thousands of years, 3,329 years since Maimon Har Sinai, this sense of connection and amelus and mesiras nefesh? People mamish gave their lives for it. People dedicate their lives. Some people are moisa their nefesh, and some people are moisa their goof, and old people are moisa their time. But they put in, what is it fills bote midrashes every night? It's a wunder. I look here, you look around today, Baruch Hashem, you see people who work, yeshiva educated people, who work during the day, and at night they sit two and a half, three sometimes hours, sitting, learning with a chavrusa. They leave their family, they run home, they get a bite to eat for dinner, and then they run to learn with a chavrusa for 2-3 hours. I mean, where does this come from? Teretz is there's something there that we realize, that connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that connection to Har Sinai. There's something alive in it. It isn't just an academic study. Anyway, but Rashi tells us that we can be mishtashea bat Torah, and through that to remember the love, the feeling that we had at Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his love to Klal Yisrael by giving us the Torah. Which means that, and that's my suggestion, it's a suggestion, that maybe that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't give a specific mitzvah for remembering Maimon Har Sinai, because for us there's no need for that mitzvah, because it's nichlal in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because since we are dedicated to learning Yom V'Layla, V'Hagisa B'Yom V'Layla, Mimela, that we connect. It's almost as if I don't have to remind myself about Har Sinai. I was just there. I visit it regularly. I spend most of my days at the foot of Har Sinai. And you say, ooh, I don't feel it, I don't this. It can come, and it does come. And I'd only like to suggest one more thing, too, that it comes when a person delves into the depths of the Torah. And I'll tell you why. Because when you read superficially, okay, so it's very nice, nice concepts, beautiful, sensitive. There's nothing like it in the world. But when you delve, means I have a problem. It doesn't make any sense. This looks like a mistake. In fact, many people, when they learn, their first impulse is, it's So Tolos and Girsa. Must change the Girsa. There's something wrong over here. I know people that do that. You notice some Gemaras, you have that sometimes. The Bach and the Goyim did it, but I'm talking about people that say, oh, no, this is it. This can't be on the Rishon. Oh, yeah, oh, Rishonim. It can't be such a thing. Okay, whatever it is. But the point is like this. And then there's a problem. And there's another problem. And I worked. And what happens? A light goes off in one's head. All of a sudden, somebody says something. I saw something. I thought of something. And then everything all of a sudden makes sense. That's why he said that. And that's why. And even these things that I dared not ask before because they were too sensitive in the language, also that fits in now. That can generate that sense of not only not that can generate not only the sense that this is Teres Hashem, but that can generate the sense of excitement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me the Torah today. Agav, somebody mentioned, somebody called. One second. Somebody called me on it. And I checked the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim in the Oitzer HaTfilos, learn Baruch HaTu Hashem, Noisein HaTorah. It doesn't mean he's the Noisein HaTorah who gave it. He did constantly. Torah is a constant matana. Ki Hashem yitein chochmo mipiv das usvuno. He feeds it to us every day. When a Jew learns and he's omel b'Torah, and then he has problems after this problem and that problem, other problem, and all of a sudden, wow! Now it's beginning to make sense. He can feel at that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what Rashi says and what Shlomo HaMelech said that Klal Yisrael craves, and Rashi explains in Shir HaShirim, Yishokeidim Shikos Piyu. Once again, he's revealing to me the insights in his Torah. When I learn on a superficial level, I don't really get that feeling because it's all there. I'm reading the text. You read a text, I read this text, I read another text. All right, text is a text. This text happens to make a lot more sense. This text happens to be a lot more relevant. This text happens to be a lot more sensitive. This text happens to be a lot more practical. This text happens to be a lot more beautiful. Oh, it's a text. But when I delve in and I have problems and nothing makes sense, and then I discover that sense is like a feeling that Hashem is revealing himself to me. That is the equivalent in a person's emotion as standing by Har Sinai. And therefore, I suggest, based on that, that there is no need, according to the Rambam Shita, there's no need to have a mitzvah asay to remember my Har Sinai, because that's an experience that we are capable of feeling on a regular basis in our in-depth Limud HaTorah.